Welcome to Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass, a weekly conversation about business, careers, and personal development designed to inspire, educate, and motivate you.
And sometimes ourselves.
To show up powerfully, live fearlessly, and to find and unleash your inner badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay.
I'm Liz Green.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay here with my inquisitive co-host, Liz Green. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. So it's, you know, I love the feeling of spring in the air. And so after we're done here today, I'm getting outside to go get brunch.
Yeah, you deserve it. A nice brunch, Sunday afternoon brunch. You know what's wild though? And I just saw this now, as you said, spring day. I listened to one of our episodes from a year ago. Uh-huh. And the pandemic had just started. And I said, oh my gosh, this is so freaky, Lisa. We're going to be listening to this episode 6 months from now and think, what the hell was that? Little did we know.
Right? Little did we know.
It's so crazy. And then in the episode, I had said something like, you know, Oklahoma, where my husband's from, like they're not all that worried because there's 5 cases. And I heard that the other day, I was like, oh my God, 5 cases. That's like the whole thing was so mind blowing to listen to.
I know.
Now, a year later.
I know. I think almost everything is like that, being trapped in time. When you go back and you listen to it, you're kind of like, what? You people had no idea. Nothing.
right. Exactly. Oh my goodness gracious. Anyway. All right. So let's get into our episode. We're talking to Eric Seropian, and he is, his agency is called South Bay Digital Marketing Agency. And he talks to us today about SEO, search engine optimization. And my gosh, you guys, I'm going to actually go and listen to this once we post it again, because it's so packed full of great stuff. And if you're in business, you really have to listen to this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm definitely a skeptic, which you guys will hear during the interview. So it'll be a very interesting coming at. He kind of managed me well with my skepticism. Yeah. So it's a great way to come at it if you're like me, or if you're more of a convert about it. We try to keep it as basic as possible, because I know it can be a very dense topic. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. There's a lot in there. So pause and come back and listen to it, but definitely listen to it.
Yeah, good. So enjoy, everybody. Eric, welcome, and thank you so much for being here on our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Eric.
Hello, hello.
We're chatting about a topic which I suppose is a little bit controversial between the two of us, right? Me and Liz, which is SEO, search engine optimization. Say that 5 times fast. So Eric, you know, when we did our pre-chat, I told you that I am a little skeptical of search SEO. I'm not going to try to say the whole thing again. I'm a little skeptical of SEO. And we started to get into a bit of a chat, but let's start from the beginning, because I think it's such a very kind of a nebulous and kind of could be a hard concept to grasp, and also kind of a concept that could be very difficult in the audio format. So let's just start very basic. SEO, what is it?
Yeah, SEO is, you know, it's a, you say controversial, I say confusing, challenging. And you don't have like a guideline from Google to say, if you do these 10 things, I'm going to rank you. So it's something that is unknown, as opposed to you can go and buy Facebook ads, or you could go buy, you know, different ads on different platforms. It's difficult when you're asking Google for that free traffic coming in. So what is SEO? SEO is when you search for something on Google. I'll use Google as an example, but, you know, Yahoo, Bing, and other search engines. When you type in something that you're looking for on Google, you have the search results that come up. So on the top, usually there's about 3 or so that are paid advertisers. And at the bottom of the search results, there's a handful of paid advertisers on the search results page. In the middle are websites that Google thinks is a good match for what the user is searching for. And so that's organic. That is what Google is pairing up with that keyword with that user and saying, hey, I think what you're looking for is on this list here. And that list goes on, you know, you have 10 search results on a page and you have many pages going back. So, but a lot of us search on the first page or two, and then after that, we move on. We're not really clicking on Google for, you know, 50 search results. And so basically, that's what that search engine optimization is that those search results that are coming in, and those are not paid ads. Those are, it's almost like Google is vouching for that website, saying to the user, hey, you might want to check out these websites here because I think that these are good. The paid ads, they're buying that real estate.
Okay, so let me pause because you said a lot there, and I'm like, okay, good, because you said a lot, and I wrote some things down. So these are your organic search results. When I type in a search, and I think, let's get a search that we're going to talk about through our, our conversation, so we have something we can kind of anchor and go back to, because that'll help me, right? Rather than talking about something, kind of nebulous. All right, so I am searching for
Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass.
Sure, we're looking for Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass, right? Maybe we're looking for a t-shirt, let's say, right? And that says Bossy,
or Brilliant, bar kit.
That's because we have a bar kit for sale. Buy it, people.
or a baseball hat. Just saying. Sorry, I'll stop.
But let's say we're looking for a t-shirt that says Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass, right? And I go into Google and I type in Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass t-shirt. Okay. And Google is going to then send me some results. And based on just those four words that I typed in, Google is going to say, I think these are the things you should check out.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. And you mentioned something in your original, when you started talking, you said how Google will rank you. What does that mean?
So basically, let's say I'm looking for a mechanic, let's say in my neighborhood. So first of all, Google is really good at figuring out where you are. So you're logged into your Gmail or your Facebook account, or your IP address. It's triangulating more or less where you are. So what it's doing is it's, you know, I'm in Los Angeles and I'm in a part of Los Angeles. So when I start typing in and I don't even put the city and I search, it gives me a certain radius that's within my neighborhood. So that's search result number one. The second is it's trying to figure out what is the user intent. So if I put in car for sale, am I trying to sell it? Am I trying to buy it? Am I trying to get a resale value for it? What am I trying to do? So it's trying to figure out so it could give, again, the best possible user experience. So when it's giving those search results, so again, the search results are the ones that are, since we're talking about SEO right now, it's not the top three that are paid, and then it's the rest of the ones that are organically listed there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So our goal as business owners, right, is to try to get ourselves ranked. Now, this is where my skepticism comes in, right? And I think Liz has a little bit of a different perspective on this because Liz thinks it's really interesting and cool. And I think it's interesting and cool too, but I just feel like we can't game it, right? So that's where I'm skeptical.
Well, first let Eric know what the difference is in terms of our opinions. Maybe that could be helpful.
Well, okay. So what's your opinion? Because I know you think it's cool. You've sent me some things about it and I'm just like, eh.
Are you talking about Liz or are you talking about
me?
Yeah,
Liz. Liz has.
Well, I'm a big social media person and I feel like I'm a big YouTube person and I feel like these things can help rank. And the reason why I think this is true is when I first started my company called Bar Candy, I spent a lot of time on this to get my company to the first page on Google, right? Under chocolate champagne glasses. And so I just tried everything in the book. And that's just what I noticed worked for me, right? getting on YouTube, doing social media, reaching out to, say, other businesses, bloggers, that type of thing. So I'm a big social media fan because it's worked for me.
Good.
Maybe that's just my product. I don't know.
Sometimes it's the product. Sometimes it's a product, and sometimes it's the business owner. They're comfortable with a particular way of marketing and talking to their audience. So yeah, social media works definitely.
Right. And I mean, we have a lot of people come on here and say like social media works, and I fully believe that. I think so to me, when I hear Liz's story, it works for Liz because Liz has what I consider to be a very unique product. Okay. And it makes sense to me that if I am looking for chocolate champagne glasses, that Liz will come up. If I am looking for HR consulting, which is what I do, then I am now competing with ADP and Bambi, who does a lot of ads, and every payroll company that has a little HR consulting and has way more money than I do to be able to get themselves ranked by Google. So for me, I'm just sort of like, why am I spending all this time and money and energy trying to get myself ranked? Because if you're looking for HR consultants near me, even, you know, using your radius search, ADP is going to come up first, or Bambi is going to come up first. And Bambi is like $99 a month. I am decidedly not $99 a month.
So is there a difference there, Eric, then, with a product and a service? I mean, it certainly sounds like it.
Well, I feel like the successes that we're having right now that are head and shoulders above other products is local SEO. So, for instance, back in the day, I used to be a jewelry designer. And to sell jewelry online right now, to compete with China and, you know, New York City Diamond District and Los Angeles Jewelry District and all the mom and pop people that are selling on Instagram and, you know, selling on Amazon and selling everywhere, it's very difficult to compete. But if you can bring it down to a little bit more of a local or a niche kind of a campaign, then you're kind of blocking out a lot of the competitors. So back in the day, my mom used to be a real estate agent. And so she was, you know, she was one of the first people that I started to do her campaign for her while I was still a jeweler. I was kind of dabbling in this while working on it on my own company. And, you know, it was obvious that it's much easier because you're competing with maybe 100 or 200 other agents within a certain radius. You know, you're not competing with China. You're not competing if you're in Los Angeles. You're not competing with the real estate agent in New York City or anything like that. So you can kind of either bring it down to a geographic campaign or bring it down to a niche-oriented campaign and go from there. The e-commerce, it has become very difficult, especially since Amazon is there. There are some big platforms that are just cranking out the sales and the products and things like that. And Amazon is in a situation where when they see that a certain category is working, they go in and they don't let others sell, and they sell that category themselves.
Friggin' Amazon, I swear to God.
Anyway. Yeah. I think that, someone has a, you know, if they're an accountant, let's say, or they're an attorney, you know, attorneys can't really practice in other states. So it's, you know, their license is good for the state that they're in, that they have their license in. So they're going to be focused on a certain area. And so you're able to run campaigns and create content and make Google aware of you that you are in, I don't know, Las Vegas, and you're an attorney in, you know, you're a personal injury attorney in Las Vegas. And you can go after those keywords. Now, going back to what Lisa was saying about gaming, you're not going to fool Google. You know, right. you just can't. And when you try to do it, if Google feels like you're messing around, then you just don't get ranked at all.
How do you fool that? What would be an example of that?
Well, let's say, for instance, let's say for the last 6 years, I didn't get any Yelp reviews. And then I got 2 months ago, I got 200 Yelp reviews. And I don't get any Yelp reviews for the next year. it looks very weird. It looks like, you know, odd.
Like you stuffed it.
Yes. Same with if you're, you know, you're getting incoming links. Online link building is when I write an article about you and I give you a clickable link from my website to your website pointing. The more links you have pointing to your website, the better off your SEO campaign is going to be. And same example with that. I have zero links coming in and then suddenly I have 100 or I have 50 in a month or a week. And then I don't have anything for years to come. It doesn't look normal. It looks like it's bought. And Google knows who those people are that are selling those links anyway. So, once it figures out that you're trying to game the system, there are things where marketers will do where they'll identify a keyword that they want to go after, and then they'll use that keyword over and over and over again. It's called keyword stuffing. And so when Google recognizes that, it pushes you away. So you want to do something where you're doing it organically. And it's very difficult to game Google. And I've seen situations where they've been able to do it for a couple months or so. And then after that, the website gets blocked or it gets what's called put in the sandbox, where they're kind of on a timeout. And they don't get any traffic from Google. They don't get ranked on Google for, 6 months, 12 months.
And how do you know if you've been sandboxed?
There are certain, for example, if you have Google Analytics, you can see the traffic coming in. You can see which platforms the traffic is coming in from. And if you see that your traffic has taken a nosedive coming in from Google Organic, then you know something's up. And then you can kind of do some research or talk to a marketer like myself and figure out what's going on. Again, you're not going to get a notification from Google saying, hey, you upset me and I'm not going to rank you. That's just not how it works.
You're on timeout.
Google's not your friend.
Yes.
Google practice avoidance.
Exactly.
Conflict management style.
Right. I don't think Google doesn't have a good communication style.
So one of the things you talked about was sort of building a local campaign to kind of start to say, okay, hey, I'm a human resources consultant in Brooklyn, right? To kind of build that out. But, all right, same thing. Bambi, I know for a fact, Bambi just does, they pay a lot of ads. They pay for a lot of ads, right, to get themselves up there. So, and I know a lot of people will click on the first link because they're not seeing ad because Google kind of hides it, right? But we're not trash talking Google here.
Next thing you know, our website's going to be sandboxed. And we
So what else can I do, right? Because there's language that I may use specifically for my product, right? That I would use in my brochure or my sales material, let's call it, that my clients or people who are searching for me would not necessarily use. So how do I find out what people are looking for and build out my whatever it may be, sales material, brochures, website, to sort of match that, what people are looking for, so people can, in fact, find me and that Google can rank me when they're doing that search.
Sure.
Yeah, good question.
I'll go back to, I'll start with the example you gave with Bambi. There are, for example, there's, if you're looking for an accountant, there are people that use TurboTax, and there are some bigger companies that are nationwide. It doesn't mean that it's a category buster. It doesn't mean that everyone's just going to go to that company. So sometimes people feel overwhelmed because their competitors are going in and they have these ridiculous, like with search engine optimization, there's GoDaddy, there's Network Solutions. They're huge companies that do SEO for $49 a month. But it doesn't really offer anything. It's just kind of like this starting point where they just want to make sure that you don't have any broken links and a couple of basic things. So the second part of your question as far as how to identify what your competitors are doing or to get some idea of what to do, there are tools out there. I use a tool called SEMrush. What you do is...
I know that one.
Yeah, it's a very popular... And there's Ahrefs and there's dozens of them out there. So you can take, for instance, you can take your website, put it in the search box and search for, hey, this website, what keywords is this website ranked for? And let's say a lot of times what I do is when I'm starting with a client is I run a report on their website. And then I ask for the top 10, maybe 15 competitors that they might have. And I don't mean the Bambis of the world. I'm talking about companies that you're going head to head with that is, a direct competitor. And then I ask for maybe 10 or 20 keywords that they would love to rank for. And then we see what the competitors are ranked for. Because a lot of times, like for example, when I was in jewelry, in the beginning, I was just trying to rank for the keyword jewelry. And it just, I mean, there's Zales and there's, you know, they have 1,000 stores. There's all these online stores that are doing billions of dollars of jewelry sales online and things like that. So what I did was I went after keywords. I identified with doing reports like this. I went after, let's say, a keyword, men's platinum diamond wedding band. It might get 100 searches a month, but I'm going to be on the top 10 of those 100 searches. And so when people come to my website, they're going to see that I'm priced well. I have my Yelp reviews. I have everything. They're going to feel comfortable and they're going to see that my price is better than theirs. And, you know, they can call and talk to me as opposed to when you call Zales, you know, it's a different experience.
And yeah. You know, that's really important. I mean, when I, you know, one of my keywords, of course, is chocolate champagne glasses. But I mean, there's like same thing, like 100 people a month, right? Mm-hmm. But that's better than me, say, my main keywords being luxury chocolate, because if I were to put that in, I would never, ever be found. So I guess it's better to be in a smaller pond, you know?
Exactly.
So at least I have 100 people if they happen to look than nobody.
Exactly. So, as opposed to just getting the keyword glasses. So what you want to do is you want to find those keywords that are, it's exactly what they would be searching for. And so in time, you build out pages for those keywords and you optimize for that as opposed to picking the category, like in the example of jewelry, because there's jewelry, there's bracelets, earrings, diamonds, sapphire, watches, and then there's repair. There's hundreds and hundreds of ways that can go. And so what you want to do is, what happens is when they come in looking for that very specific item that you have, that you specialize in, they stay on your site longer, they click around to other pages, and when they it looks like they convert, Google is watching all of that on your Google Analytics. So Google is thinking, okay, we had 100 people that we sent over for this keyword, and they stayed on for a couple minutes at a time, and they went on several pages. This seems like a good match between this keyword and this website. So now let me rank them a little bit higher for this keyword. Let me bring in some of these other keywords that they look like they have the product for. Because all Google is trying to do is give the best possible user experience. So if it feels like people are on your site and they're staying longer and they're clicking around and searching, as opposed to on your Google Analytics, there's something called the bounce rate. That means that they go to your website and without going to anywhere else, they leave. And so sometimes it's not the best metric because sometimes they just want your phone number. So they go to your homepage, they click, and then they click call. But other people, you could see that if that's a trend, that's all they're doing, especially on an e-commerce site, that's not the best metric to have. If you have 90% bounce rate, Google's going to think that that's not a good, that keyword and your website are not a good match. So your ranking for that is going to drop just based on that metric. No matter how many pages you build out trying to identify, like rank for that keyword, Google's watching what your users are doing.
Does it matter where you put those keywords? Like, does it have to be like on the first page? My website, at least not my coaching site, but my chocolate site, it's very photo image heavy. So where, you know, in terms of my keywords, does it matter if it's on a first page or about us or products or the very first page?
What I would suggest is, let's say, for example, you have on your website, you have your category pages. So you have chocolate and then you have under chocolate, maybe you have chocolate glass and then maybe you have other products that are subcategories. So I would put the category and then have the subcategories where you, when you click on the category, you go to the subcategory and there's maybe 10, 20, 50 products because you can't put everything on the homepage. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's how I would do it. Like with jewelry, what I did was I had engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond stud earrings. I had a couple of categories, and under the categories, I had subcategories where men's jewelry would be men's wedding bands, it would be men's necklaces, cufflinks, and things like that. So you have the category pages and then the subcategory.
I just said ew to men's necklaces. If you're a man, do not wear a necklace.
Well, we did big on like dog tags and things like that. So yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh man, that's funny.
It's funny because I still, you know, I'm having a hard time. Like I kind of know generally what my clients would be looking for when they're looking for me, right? And I suspect it's probably doing more of something. So I'm wondering, is it a question of, okay, so sorry, listeners, you guys hear me talk about HR audits a lot because, hey, but HR audits, that's something people are going to want to know. Look, I think something's wrong. I want to know, can you do an audit? Can you tell me what's happening? So ultimately, it sounds to me, because I don't have a page that exists like this at all. I just have, it's probably on my website one time, to be honest. HR audits where I am talking about just a page of audit talk, which is like really exciting and fun. Right? So would you say something like that is a good idea?
Yeah. If you're locking in on a keyword that you think is important to you, then you should build out landing pages for those keywords. Mm-hmm. And then build that content for that keyword.
So like write a case study or maybe have testimonials with audits in it or something like that. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Different ways to do content is like a blog post. A case study is good. A video is good. I love video. I've gotten into video in years past because it's actually you're hitting two of the top search engines with Google and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so, and be sure to put it on your social media, because another metric that Google looks at to decide if it's going to rank you is social media. So for example, if you post on social media once a year, it's different than if you post every week for the last year. Google is watching whether, your following, your audience has grown or shrunk. Like last month, let's say I have 100 followers right now on my social media. Last month I had 110 and next month I'm going to have 90. There's a trend there. Mm-hmm. And so Google is going to see, you know, something's up.
Oh my also gosh, they know everything.
Huh? Yeah. I know. I'm like, nuts, I don't know about this Google.
Wow.
Also with engagement rate, it's watching. Like if you have 100 followers and you post something and nobody comments, no one likes it, no one shares it. That's going to be a negative metric. If you have people that are sharing, liking, commenting, and so on, that's going to have a different impact on your search engine optimization. These are all little things that kind of add up.
Little things that add up. So when you say video, like, would you recommend Lisa for her HR business, my coaching business, maybe even our Bossy Brilliant Badass business, like to include a video on the website?
You can do it a couple different ways. So what seems to be working is the important pages that you have on your website. I would say to keep what you have. If you have, let's say, for example, the HR audits, build out a page for that. And then also inside of that page, maybe do a 2-minute video with you talking.
On what an audit is and things like that.
Yeah, like you know, something like, I know audits are difficult and we have all this experience. And if you like, you know, contact us for a 15-minute consultation and here's what we've done. Just because we all digest information in different ways. Some of us like to read it. Some of us like to listen, watch, etc. So you're kind of hitting different senses when you bring in video, not to mention you're bringing YouTube into it. And Google is watching YouTube. Google's watching that if your video, if you keep posting videos and you're getting a lot of viewers and you're getting comments and you're getting subscribers, Google's going to be like, okay, this keyword matches this website. So yeah. it that's going to help your ranking, as opposed to when you crank out content and it's just not, it's not sticky. People aren't watching it. When you get on your YouTube analytics, you can see on the back end, because I see a lot of times my clients, let's say they got 100 views, and then you see that there's 50 of them dropped off. It's a 5-minute video. 50% of them dropped off in the first 20 seconds. They just were like, oh, this is wrong for me. And then you see another 10% dropped off within the first minute. And then sometimes we have people that maybe 10% of them watched the entire 5 minutes, which means that they're really interested when you have that. So you have 100 views. I'm just using round numbers. Let's say you have 100 views and 10% of them. So 10 of them watched all 5 minutes. So if you have something where at the end of it, there's a call to action, if I watch that video for 5 minutes, I'm pretty interested to see if I want to watch another video. Do I want to go on the website and subscribe to the email list? Do I want to set up a free consultation? What do I want to do? And that those are things that Google is watching for. If you have 100 visitors to a video and all 100 of them drop off in the first 20 seconds, guess what? Google's going to think that keyword doesn't work with that website.
And I've noticed something with Google too recently as well, where they actually even know what's in the video, because I did a search for how to track, how to track like a PPP loan inside my accounting system. And I was trying to figure out how to like set it up and do all that stuff. And Google literally served me up like 3 videos with the timestamp of where the person in the video starts talking about. Mm-hmm. And yes. I was like, well, okay. So I'm clicking right to that spot in the video, and that's where the video starts. I don't get the whole preamble, which is another fascinating thing to me. And as you were talking, I was thinking about that, the flip side of it, you know, where if I did a video like that, that's what would happen for me. So I don't know, maybe you're turning me around here, Eric.
All right. I mean, I'm not as a Google salesman, so that's not.
We'll see how things end up here at the end of this conversation.
The thing to keep in mind with Google is there have been many, many other search engines before Google.
Oh yeah.
And the secret sauce to Google is that they are user centric. They're thinking of the user first, not the advertiser.
Right.
Because before there were some search engines where you could go in and you're selling pencils and you could buy keywords for, or you could rank for keywords for socks or for whatever you're selling and doing. And you would just get that traffic, hoping that if they come to your website, they see you have a wonderful product and you buy that also. And so Google is like, no, we want to deliver the best possible search results. Every time they make changes on their algorithms, that's the focal point, is how do we keep our users happy so that they're getting the best, they're getting exactly what they want. Because if I search for something and I get a bad search result, let's say I'm looking for, I don't know, pizza shop in Los Angeles, and I keep getting pizza shop in Austin, Texas, or in Wyoming. And those search result type of examples happen over and over again for everything I'm searching for. I'm going to start going to Yahoo or Bing, or to maybe looking for other search engines. But Google is so good at delivering those results that we're usually not really fishing around for other search engines.
Right. Yeah. Right,
yeah.
Wow. That makes sense.
I mean, I don't know anybody who uses Bing, so. Sorry, yeah. Microsoft.
So when you say, Eric, about in our pre-chat, you had said Google really needs to be able to crawl your website, right? So how do we, could you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Absolutely. So basically what happens is, when you're building out your website, you have a index or no index apparatus. And so most website builders, IT, tech, whatever you want to call them, when they're building out the site, they do an index. They only do no index when they're building out the site. It's not done. They don't want Google to see it yet. And so when it's ready to launch, because if you have a website that's not built out, and you have broken links and you have all kinds of errors on the website. You don't want really Google to see that and rank according to that. So once the website is launched, you do an index. So Google goes in and on the back end goes in and searches the site within a split second, millisecond, and moves on. And so Google is out there looking at different websites, seeing what they're up to. Are there any changes? Are there any broken links? What's your website load speed, et cetera? It's looking for certain metrics, because if your website loads in 2 seconds, you're going to have a different user experience. If it loads in 10 seconds, you're going to have a different user experience. So it doesn't want me as a user to go to someone's website from Google and it takes forever to load. I'm going to be upset with Google because I'm looking at
the... Right, you're not upset with my website. You're upset with Google.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
So once you understand the mind frame of what Google is looking for, you get away from the gaming part of it, and you just think, okay, Google likes this and dislikes this. And so while I'm still doing my business, while I'm posting on Facebook, I can actually take that content and post it on my website category page or on my blog page or on, like, you can use that same content if you're doing for social media campaign, you could use it also for your Google campaign.
I like how you almost call Google a she just now.
I did.
Google is a moody bitch, clearly. So where do we start, Eric? Where do we start when we want to find out what Google thinks about our website as it currently stands?
There's a tool that you can use. There's many tools out there. So the one that's free, you can go to, it's a Google tool. It's called Google Webmaster Tools. And you can go in and you can see what Google thinks. And sometimes it gives you certain warnings or advice. Like it'll say, these three pages, the font is too small for mobile. You know, things like that to kind of help you along. Because, yeah, and you go and you check it on your cell phone and the font looks, you know, tiny. And so it's just trying to help you along a little bit. So I would start there.
That's it. Resources are a thing for people who are solo. Like, what else can we do to really get started here?
Sure. To hit the ground running, I would say there are a couple things that you want to make sure that you're doing. First is you want to make sure that your website is indexable. So you want to make sure that when you go to a website, especially e-commerce sites they fall into this trap where they have 10,000 products and you go to the website and it's a clothing line and they have a swimming suit and they have domain.com/ and then it's the stock number 12345XYZ214B. Well, Google doesn't know what that is. So instead of having, tagging the page with the stock number, you should have something that says, you know, domain.com/swimsuit/, and then maybe red and white polka dots, you know, whatever, like something that describes the product as opposed to just numbers. Because as smart as Google is, sometimes it's really dumb. It doesn't really know what those numbers are. And, sometimes, marketers, they'll put the stock number because it's part of a brand. And so people will go and Google the stock number to see who's selling it so they can go into the store and try it on or something. But that's, as far as SEO goes, that's not the best way to do it. Sometimes if you have a lot of product, then do some of it one way, some of it another way, because also it's a lot of work to categorize, to give names to each one of the products. And if you're doing 10,000 products, and then every 3 to 6 months, your inventory is changing. It's a lot of work to do that also.
So Google know, if you have an e-commerce site, does Google know how much you're actually selling on the site? Are they able to sort of index what's in the, how many people put something in a shopping cart and check out?
Yes. Yes. They're able to do that. And a lot of times with your, on your Google Analytics, you should set up goals. And so if it's e-commerce, you set up, when they do the checkout, for some of my clients that are doctors, it's if they called or if they filled out a form, that's a conversion for us. So, and the doctor knows that if they got 3 phone calls, they probably got one client or four phone calls, they got one client, and they can do a return on investment and see, you know, how much each client is costing them. So there are ways to that Google is keeping track of what's going on out there, but they're not doing anything that's going behind the curtain of your privacy.
All right. So Eric, what's the second thing that we could do to hit the ground running?
So once your website is indexable and Google can read it, the low-lying fruit, what you want to do is you want to identify the keywords that you want to rank for. And then those are using tools that we talked about or working with a marketer that can kind of guide you. But you need to identify the keywords that you want to go after that are low competition, higher search volume, that can kind of get things rolling. And then you need to create content for that. You need to optimize for that. You need to build links. You need to do your blogging, your videoing, etc. And be sure that you're doing your social media. Make sure that your following is growing a little bit every month. Your engagement rate is high because Google's watching it. And the last thing is just kind of like a baseline to get started is make sure that you're getting some Facebook, Google, and Yelp reviews wherever your clients are, because reputation management online is huge. I can sit here and pound my chest and say how great I am at SEO. When I have other people say something good about me, it resonates so much more. It's kind of like, you know, anything in life where you have, you could say you're so great, but if you have a friend that comes and says, hey, this person's really a good guy, I've known him for 20 years and he's one of my best friends and he's honest and he's whatever, it's just how life works.
Right, right. And so what about testimonials on your website? Does that work in the same way or not really?
It's not as much. You could take a screenshot of the testimonial that you have on Yelp and put it there. But people are going and they're trusting in those, you know, Google, Yelp, Facebook reviews. And so try to have your clients go and talk about you there.
Ah,
right.
Do you do that, Lisa? Do you do a Yelp reviews?
You know,
I haven't done that.
No, I haven't done that. And I actually was thinking, oh, should I be doing Yelp reviews, HR consultant? I don't know.
Is there another other than Yelp? What else? Where else?
Well, I think if you want Google reviews, it goes straight into the funnel of Google. Google will
Google
know exactly.
Reviews.
Yes. And if you're doing social media, Facebook reviews.
Okay.
So, Eric, it kind of sounds to me like, based on those three tips, it sounds to me like you really don't have to do anything special, a little special, but nothing that is too overwhelming outside of whatever your normal marketing strategy should be, right? Because we should always be creating content anyway. We should be working on social media anyway. So the only thing it sounds like we're adding is just a little bit of a keyword strategy.
Exactly.
Does that sound about right? Yeah. So
not just that, but you know, there are other things for SEO. I teach this. I teach search engine optimization at an academy here in Los Angeles. Like it's many hours of, you know, like a deep dive. But we're just trying to get like how to get things rolling in a particular direction. So you could see that the traffic's coming in. You're getting some conversions, and then maybe this is something that you want to spend more assets on or you know, time on, and see if you can grow it even more. So it's one of those things where a lot of small businesses, they don't have the time or the funds or the know-how or, you know, anything to do this. So, but if you're creating content for your social media already, you can recycle that into your SEO campaign. And you might write a blog article that you can recycle that into your social media campaign. They kind of go hand in hand.
Right. And that's kind of what I was saying about, like, if you're already kind of doing your marketing strategy, it's not like you have to veer too much to add SEO into it. You can kind of just kind of make sure you're being strategic about your keywords into what you're already doing. So, because, you know, every time we talk about something on the show, sometimes we have people come on and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, that's so much work, right? Even though it's like really good information. So I like this, that it's like, it's already in line with whatever your broader marketing strategy is going to be anyway. You just have to be strategic about your keywords.
Strategic about it. Yeah. And put the time in. So say if somebody has budgeted for some help, right? what would they look for?
Well, I have a couple things that I do. One is there are a lot of people out there that are strapped for, they don't have a lot of money to spend on this, or they want to test it themselves and things like that. So I have a program that I do where I'm their mentor. We set up, I have many clients that we do, let's say a half hour a week, half hour every other week, or an hour a week, somewhere in that range there, where we strategize, we go over reports, we kind of do this on Zoom where we screen share, I show reports, I show things, I give them homework, and off they go until the next meeting. And then when they run into a roadblock, they run into things, we're constantly working on it, but they're doing the work. I'm just kind of guiding them. So okay. that's something that I think for a small business, it's a good way to go, especially if they have something going on online besides SEO, if they have a Google Ads campaign going, or if they have a social media campaign going or something, we can take that content and recycle it and hit the ground running. So I have that program. And the second thing that I do is I literally do their campaigns for them. So I'm our agency, I'm certified to do Google Ads. We are a Yelp agency. We can optimize your Yelp campaigns if you have a campaign or if you're looking to do it. There are certain benefits that you get when you work through an agency. Like, for example, if someone Yelps you directly, trying to see your Yelp reviews, if you're working under an agency, your competitors don't come up on that search. Whereas if you were doing the campaign yourself, your competitors would come up on the search, even though if they're searching for you directly. So there are certain benefits that you would get with that. So we kind of do like the strategy with the client, and then we implement the strategy, and then we have a once a month meeting where we go over the numbers and the next month's strategy and things like that.
Great. Wow. Awesome. So what haven't we asked you that you would like to be asked, Eric?
Well, I think that this is a good starting point as far as what people need to do to get their SEO campaign going. One of the biggest things for search engine optimization is online link building. And that's going to take some enticing to get people to give you a link from their website. It costs them nothing. But they need, you need to get those links coming in. And that's a conversation that we have, the class that I teach. It's for a whole week. It's about 50 hours in a week. And we probably spend about 10-15% of that just on online link building.
Which is essentially guest blogging, maybe, or?
Guest blogging, it's directory submission, citation building. Things like that. So there's a lot that goes into getting someone. And the thing is, you could get just anybody to give you a link. You want to get some websites that have a high domain authority. Like if you got a article that came in from USA Today, it's different than if you got a article from a website that just they spun it up 2 days ago and it has no authority, that has nothing.
How does LinkedIn work? Because I always feel like if you write an article and you throw up it on LinkedIn and it is sitting in LinkedIn has high authority, obviously, on Google. How would that help, or does that help? Or
well, it all helps.
Answer all the question helps. I'm not asking.
Yeah, it all helps. But the thing is, when you build out content and you put it on a link on your Twitter or on your Facebook or on your LinkedIn, Pinterest, whatever, and you link back to your website, those are all links coming in. The thing is, it's a link from your own
right.
Company.
So we want other people, not
yes.
just ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Excellent. All right.
All right. So I think that's it. Any final takeaways for us? Or?
Sure. If I could just make a quick plug, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you go to my website, it's called thisismysouthbay.com. Click on the book now button. You will have a 15-minute consultation to talk about anything to do with SEO, your campaign, your competitors' campaigns, any thoughts, any strategies that you have. South Bay is part of Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. I live in the South Bay part of Los Angeles. I've grown up there. And so I'm kind of like a mini influencer in the area. and we can talk about your social media, how to create campaigns where it's hyper local. So if you have a small business in a neighborhood, you can literally go after like a couple mile radius, and if that's what you're looking for. So that's, again, that's something that Google's looking at, and looking at your followers and seeing that, okay, you live in this part of the world, and your followers seem to be from that part of the world. So let me make sure that you're ranked for those keywords in that part of the world. And so again, go to the website, thisismysouthbay.com, and click on the book now button to schedule a free 15-minute consultation.
Excellent. Wow, that's great. Good stuff. Thank you so much for being with us today, Eric.
Sure.
We really appreciate it. And thank you for being our badass of the week.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for us this week. Remember, you can find anything we referenced in the episode in our show notes on our website, bossybrilliantbadass.com.
If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. It helps us get found.
And thank you for listening. There'll be more Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass next week. So until then, be a badass.